Joining us on Front and Center is Howard Schwartz. Howard is the Executive Communications Director for the Better Business Bureau serving Connecticut. And Howard, as always, welcome to Front and Center.
Thanks so much, Dan. It's a pleasure to have been invited.
Well, we have so much to talk about, a lot of ground to cover. I want to begin with these schemes involving packages missed delivery. What is that all about?
Yeah, this started a couple of years ago, and appropriately enough, we're calling it the fake miss delivery scheme. And here's how the scenario unfolds. You receive an email that looks like it came from either the Postal Service or one of the well-known companies that do deliveries. It's got their logo, it looks official, and it has a call to action. And it says, you were not home when we tried to deliver a package. Click here to put in your information to get it redelivered, or open this attachment to print out some sort of a label or an invoice, neither of which makes any sense. You shouldn't pay for a delivery. And the problem with this is they're trying to squeeze people for money. And if you click that link, by the way, it's going to either download a virus into your computer and make this indeed a very difficult season, or it's going to snoop throughout your computer and create a huge mess and grab your passwords and things like that. I think this is probably one of the easiest Christmas scams or holiday scams to prevent. Let's remember that any time that you're not home and there's a delivery, typically the delivery person will leave a tag on the door, and it'll have a reference number, the date. And like that, you can organize. You can either have it delivered the following day if you'll be home, or arrange to pick it up at the depot. So if it's an email, just get rid of it and don't worry about it. Just wait for it to come, or you know, you can arrange. One of the things that Better Business Bureau recommends is if you're not going to be around at home, and this will also protect you from gift theft, is to have things delivered either to a neighbor or a friend or a colleague, and even to your own office. And the reason why this is the second type of delivery scam is there are, let's call them package pirates. And these are criminals who scour the neighborhoods, and they're looking to see if there are any parcels on people's front doorsteps or in common areas, in apartment buildings or condo complexes. And they've been caught on video, on security tape, and they've just will grab whatever they can find and take off with it. But there's been a development in the past few years, whereas criminals will actually follow delivery trucks. They might follow a United States postal truck and see where they're dropping off packages. And then they'll wait until the truck is out of sight, and they'll grab what's ever there. And it's for all intents and purposes, that one's very difficult to stop. It saves the criminals an awful lot of time. They don't have to pass every single house, but it'll also tell them where the targets are. So once again, if you've got packages coming in, you want it delivered somewhere else if nobody's going to be home. But the other thing is, not unusual. Some folks do their online shopping, and others say, I don't receive any parcels. I haven't ordered anything. But it's not unusual at this time of year for someone to send you a gift, and you might not even be aware it's coming in. So the natural instinct is to look at this email and say, oh, I must have missed that, and start clicking around. So be careful about that. You can, as I said, have it delivered elsewhere. When you are shopping online, get a tracking number when you place the order. The tracking number will tell you when the parcel was shipped, to give you an idea of where it's going along its route and when you might receive it. Ignore those calls to action, whether it's on the phone or in an email. Don't click the links. Don't open attachments. And one other thing here is, it's not central to it, but be careful with holiday e-cards, electronic greeting cards. Again, it's not unusual to receive a greeting card at this time of year. But the question is, who did that card come from? And there are huge hyperlinks in these things that you have to press to retrieve your holiday card. So Better Business Bureau recommends, first of all, if it's not addressed to you, even though you might know the name of the sender, call them just to make sure that they did send you that greeting card before you start clicking around. And finally, keep your computer safe. Your antivirus and anti-malware protection is only as effective as you are in terms of updating it and scanning your computer weekly. And that's not optional anymore. That's something we've got to do to protect ourselves and our money.
Boy, it's amazing all the steps we have to take because of all the scams out there, whether you're talking about even a package delivery or somebody's computer, Howard. It really is amazing.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up because people figure the only danger with a computer is a virus, and it's not. We encourage as a gift this holiday to buy yourself and or your loved ones who you know use computers a lot, buy them a backup drive, and that's fairly inexpensive. You can get them for way under $100, and back up your files. And the reason I say this is not necessarily because of a virus, but you can drop a computer. It can be stolen. It can be broken. And computers do have a set lifetime. If you back up your files, then you don't have to worry about any of the above. And as I say, it makes a great gift for other people. A lot of folks want to back up their photos and whatnot. And I think one of the biggest problems with losing files, I had a computer drive crash on me about 4 years ago, were the things that I did not know that I lost, such as photos and videos.
Right.
So do back up your files indeed.
Wow. Want to get to the subject of repackaging goods and shipping them. Sounds like a tremendous way to make a few dollars at home. But I'm guessing there's a catch here. What can you say about that?
Yeah, it's also a good way to get yourself arrested. What's happening is that crooks are busy duping people into sending stolen property on behalf of fake charities. And the scam starts on the dark internet, to which you and I do not have access. That's where they sell personal information and credit cards. And that's where the credit card numbers are up for sale. And many scams start there. But what's unique about this repackaging scam is where the product goes after a stolen credit card is used. So essentially, people are told you can make easy cash at home by receiving things and then sending goods for a charity called Care of Care, and it could be called pretty much anything. It seems legitimate, but one fellow did some research, called Better Business Bureau, and like most other people, he had no idea that he was actually repackaging stolen goods and sending them elsewhere. So the fellow said it hurt when I found out that I wasted a month of my time possibly hurting somebody else. And by the same token, stolen items can also be sold online or on classified ads. And that's one of the reasons we got to be careful in particular with them. So beware of anything called a repackaging opportunity, because if you're found to be selling goods that have been stolen, well, you might just get into trouble as someone who's helping perpetrate the crime.
Howard, here's a favorite subject of mine, because when I purchase something, or before I purchase something, I should say, I always go online, read the reviews, but I'm also wary about, is somebody getting paid to write these reviews? So that said, what should we know about online reviews?
Well, we should know that paid writers often leave clues when they're dishing up glowing reviews of products and services, travel deals. You know, in the old days, it was word of mouth. We'd ask somebody about a product or a service, and they'd give you the lowdown pretty much. But it's not so much a generational thing, it's just the way our habits have changed. And if we, for example, go to Amazon or any company to check reviews, if people are stacking the reviews and giving you five-star reviews, you want to know why. Because unfortunately, there are some companies will want to trash their competitors by giving them one star or no star and saying this is an awful company and making these sort of broad brush statements about them. So you're caught between people who are paid, in many cases, to write these positive ads, and you're people in their own interests who want to trash somebody else. So the question is, where does the truth lie? And I would say it lies somewhere between the five-star review and the one-star review. And you'd probably want to check on a couple of sites other than the one that you're on when you see these reviews. Another thing you might want to look for, if you see a review that says, this vacuum cleaner changed my life and will do the same for you, that's probably a paid ad, market speak, that sort of thing. And in fact, there was a New York Times reporter who once plugged in a review for an app for a smartphone, and he found the exact same wording in several other areas. So this is somebody who was clearly getting paid to do it. Let me see. The online retailers have a policy that prohibits positive reviews for products in which the author has a financial investment. And for all intents and purposes, it's very difficult to police so many people. So here's another hint that it's a fake site. First of all, if somebody's writing a three-page review that names everybody, you know, Joe the maitre d' was wonderful, Frank the bartender, and so on. I mean, I don't know that that's the kind of thing that you and I might write.
Right.
Perhaps we would. But there are other things. For example, the name of the reviewer. And reviewers' names that include two or three numbers at the end, those are awful signs, also signs of a robotic review writing software, if you can believe that. And in addition, some of the fake reviews can be spotted if the reviewer's name resembles a business or a product name. I came upon one that was for a television set, and it kept referring to the television set not only by its brand name, but by the model number. So within two paragraphs, it was saying ABC Television, which has 1080 resolution and 400 channels and whatnot. Clearly, this is somebody who is pushing a specific product like that. We know about the vacuum cleaner that changed your life. You might find unusual sentence structure, and if the review is awkwardly worded or vague or praises the maker's company rather than the product, that can be planted. And again, marketing speak, watch out for blind product loyalty, using phrases like integrate seamlessly or this is the product you've been looking for. So while a consumer may have strong opinions for or against a company or its products, take a look at any feedback that's excessively positive or negative. Find out what the people who are complaining are talking about. And once you understand how companies and hired reviewers work, you can often detect a feedback piece with a hidden agenda. So, again, go to a different site, see what people are saying, read the nastiest reviews, read the best, and you'll probably get a feeling for it and just think, would I write it that way?
Yeah, great points. Howard Schwartz, Executive Communications Director, Better Business Bureau, serving Connecticut, our guest on Front and Center. Howard, it's amazing. All we hear, it seems, in this day and age is Amazon, Amazon, Amazon. And so you've got these retailers, and they're out there working to take Amazon on, so to speak. And one of the areas, I guess, is this convenience of free shipping. What can you say about that?
Well, the brick-and-mortar stores, just so everybody knows, are not going anywhere. But they do realize, yes, they're competing with free shipping and very good prices. That being said, last year, stumbling through for the first real test for in-store pickup, the retail companies will come under even more pressure this holiday because more Americans are doing their shopping online, as you said, and they opt to pick up their orders in stores. Now, whether you want to save delivery fees or get your item more quickly, 39% of consumers who use retailers' in-store pickup services, according to the International Council of Shopping Centers, is higher. It's up from 32% last year, 32 to 39. And with this uptick comes added pressure for these brick-and-mortar retailers who are trying to grab their share of the 11% increase in online holiday revenue. And that's because the service disappointed roughly half the people who tried it last year because of the technology was new and there were untrained employees who led to failed or canceled or incorrect orders. That being said, retailers have already made strides in working out the kinks for their buy online, pick up in store services. And whereas we find roughly half of shoppers, and one out of every two, who've tried the service last year reported some sort of an issue, but that number has fallen this year, according to a bunch of surveys by JDF Software. So now the associates in the brick-and-mortar stores are understanding it better. They're helping people more. And actually, retailers are already seeing a big spike in orders placed for in-store pickup. And that started at the end of November. So last year, the volumes for these types of purchases shot up 115% higher from the end of the month until Christmas Eve. So when it's done right, the in-store pickup can provide a substantial boost to retailer sales. It allows you to buy locally. And not only does it allow them to grab a larger chunk of online sales later in the season, but it also gives them the opportunity to persuade shoppers to add extra items to their carts once they walk into the store. Because that really is the point. Get people in for good prices and have them look around at other things that they hadn't even thought of. So online shopping is not the only route to go. And check out your local stores. See how competitive they can be. They also may be able to match prices on certain sites to give you a good deal.
By the way, and I know we've talked about this on prior programs, but it's always worth remembering, especially this time of year, when it comes to returning gifts, you could be hit with a restock fee, right?
Oh, yes. A restocking fee, the best example, is when you get a piece of electronic equipment. In particular, those are sold in hard shell cases, the kind that tear your fingers open if you don't use a pair of scissors. And if you don't like the gift, don't open it, because once you do, it can no longer be sold as new. So you'll get hit for a percentage of the value of the product. There are some other things that also have restocking fees. Again, if there's no packaging or the packaging is ruined, there's no way they can say, well, this is brand new if someone's opened it. So yes, watch the restocking fees. DVDs, CDs, if you don't want them, don't open them, because the stores won't take them back. They're afraid that you may have copied them already. And of course, intimate apparel or things that were sold at a very, very big discount. But you're right. And what you should do is check what the restocking fees are for various types of merchandise and know what the exclusions are.
It's the season to donate, and everybody, it seems, is at one point or another asked to make a donation, which certainly there's nothing wrong with that, but you need to know who you're donating to. So how do you check that out?
Well, and therein lies the problem. We get phone calls, and the charities are exempt from the do not call list. Trouble is, we never know who's calling, because caller identification is not reliable. So Better Business Bureau and its charity arm, the Wise Giving Allowance, recommends not to give money or credit card information to any sort of unsolicited cold calls or emails. Don't give your credit card information over the phone to anyone claiming to be from a charity. And if a caller asks for money, it's better to go right to the organization. So the people who do this are so good. Their sales techniques are wonderful. But it's a double shame when they are phonies and they're taking your money, and it creates several victims, not the least of which is the donor and the people or the charity who should be getting the money. So what we recommend is two things. First of all, we have a website called GIVE.org to check out perhaps a new charity or one you're dealing with, and it'll also give you standards for charity accountability. Or you can check on our website at bbb.org /Connecticut, because there are so many unfortunate ways that charity scams come up, whether there's a man-made or a natural disaster. Take that extra step and be careful. No personal information over the phone or at your front door. And a charity will be just as happy to receive a donation next week as this week. So don't be rushed into anything, essentially.
Howard, there's something taking place right now, a secret sister gift exchange. Can you talk about that?
Yes, I can. And this is of paramount importance to people who spend a lot of time online or who have neighbors, friends, children who go online a lot. It's called, as you say, the Secret Sister Gift Exchange. And what it is it looks like an illegal pyramid scam, and it's absolutely sweeping social media. The pitch is alluring. You're told that there are custom-made gifts, ideas for the holidays. The secret sister scam is spread from one person to another on social media. And it tells you that if you send one gift worth $10, you'll receive up to 36 gifts. And the question is it too good to be true? You bet. I mean, in the old days, we had chain letters, those types of things. And then there were the chain letters asking for money, and that's also illegal. But what ends up happening is not only is the scheme illegal, but money and personal information can be requested, not to mention the stuff that we already post on social media. And what's happening is people who give, that goes to the top of the pyramid and then makes its way down. So people at the bottom can end up getting absolutely nothing and losing it. And at face value, the Secret Sister gift exchange might seem reasonable. In theory, they want you to get six people to get six more people to participate, and as I said, donations being bumped up the chain. Well, what we should know is that pyramid schemes are illegal, whether by mail, email, or through social media channels, and that's especially if the organizers are asking for money or other valuable items with the assurance of a generous return. And in fact, the United States Postal Inspection Service is very clear about this, that it's illegal because you're promising something, a pyramid scam. You can't use those channels to do those types of things. So the best thing to do with the Secret Sister gift exchange, even if the invitation comes from a friend, probably best to ignore it and or tell your friend that this is not legal. And don't share or repost for other people. Chain letters, we know, are illegal. And if you start a chain letter or send one, you're actually breaking the law. The chances are, generally, with things like this, you'll receive little or nothing, despite the claims. And some chain letters try to win your confidence by claiming they are legal and endorsed by the government. And that simply is not true. It's the U.S. Postal Service that says gambling, pyramid schemes, and gift chains like this are unequivocally illegal. And we don't want to lose our money, and we certainly don't want to be on the bad side of the law.
Boy, it's amazing how we have to really be on top of things, isn't it?
Well, we believe social media, and the problem is, and we've been hearing this in the news recently, is fake news that's being distributed through social media. So it's not totally surprising that it's being sidetracked for illegal things. And we know that people will put up bad links to nasty places. And I think it's the speed with which this can spread is mind-numbing. It's not like the chain letters of yesteryear. So we tend to pick up, follow, like things that our friends have. And I don't think they take any more time investigating or thinking about these things than the people who receive them. But let's keep in mind, things that we click on in social media simply because someone else sent it to you does not mean that it's legitimate.
Well, and you know, Howard, I'll even go on these legit websites, particularly the legit news websites, and you know they're legit, and a lot of them are mainstream newspapers, and I'll go on these websites, and in the sidebar, there'll be a picture of some actress or whatever, and there's this weird story accompanying it, and if you click on it, you know, I think you're taking a chance. I won't even click on those stories.
Yeah, and that's a good plan. It's called clickbait, by the way. And that means anytime you click on that ad or anything else that's labeled as an ad, they get paid every time somebody clicks it. And it might be a fraction of a penny, but again, do the math across the country or around the world. If it's a product that interests you, maybe the best thing to do is Google it and go to the actual site. And there have also been some cases where those ads, and what happens with the rotation of the ads is they're changed millions of times a second to various websites. So sometimes someone can slip in a fake ad that is designed to do nothing, but just get clicks on it, or it'll bring you to a website that they're simply trying to bump the numbers on up on.
That's amazing. Howard, anything else you'd like to add? The Better Business Bureau website, what else would you like to add?
Yeah, what else I would like to add is take your time, make yourself a must-have and a wish list. Try and create a budget, and that's something you and I can talk about. It won't be too late next time. And just slow down this season. That means whether you're answering the telephone or in the mall, because the folks, the criminals, are waiting for us. They know that we're distracted. And if you want to learn more about this or some of the other things you and I talk about, you can go online at bbb.org/CT or call us at 860 740-4500 just to check on people you want to deal with or a business that you want to deal with or to find an accredited business.
Howard Schwartz, Executive Communications Director, Better Business Bureau, serving Connecticut. Howard, as always, thank you for joining us on Front and Center.
Always a pleasure, Dan. Take care.